All right, welcome to the Fit Vegan Podcast. I'm your show host, Maxim Seguin, and I'm the founder and CEO of Fit Vegan Coaching, a company that is on a mission to help 10,000 people get lean, thrive, and reduce their risk of chronic illnesses by 2033 and a million by 2050. I believe that having a fit, healthy body and mind is the foundation to living an incredible life, and this is what the show will give you if you choose to listen and implement. Enjoy the episode and have a great day. All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fit Vegan Podcast. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest, Darren O'Lean. Darren, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm happy to be here.
Beautiful. Well, I'm excited we get to chat. I got a little intro for you. I'm sure a lot of people are very familiar with you. My wife and I really enjoyed the little docuseries that you had, Down to Earth, with Zac Efron. Big fan of your book, right? Super Life. I didn't know that you developed Shakeology. That was really interesting to dive into when I was doing some research. And you have your latest book, Fatal Conveniences, the toxic products and harmful habits that are making you sick, and the simple changes that will save your health, which we're going to be able to talk in depth about today, because I think it's something people need to be made aware of.
Yeah, man. I'm happy to talk about the invisible elephant in the room of our society.
Good. Well, first of all, I just, again, wanted to express my gratefulness for us to be able to record today. Like I identified, we had a lot of friends in common, you know, Mike being one of them, Doug Evans being one of them, Adam Sudd, when he was in town, we had dinner with him when he was recording with you. So it's very small and big world at the same time.
The small and big world. Those are some three powerful people. I love all of them for sure.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, before we get into talking into kind of like your books and the work that you're doing, I'm very curious from like what got you to be this passionate about health? Like what is the origin story that made it you wanted to kind of, you know, go plant-based, write these books, do these types of work? Because normally it doesn't come out of just like wanting to do it for fun. There's usually a strong story behind it.
Yeah, you know, it came by way of, obviously, the journey is filled full of breadcrumbs, right? And you don't even know it's being written. But the one started as far back as, you know, I was 2 months premature. So my you know, call it this way, my imprint of this world was very my body was very fragile, and I had a lot of health issues and was lucky to survive. I was only had a 50-50 chance of even surviving. So and then kind of growing up as a kid, I always had these weird things that it always felt like I was catching up, or certain things. My dad was always worried about my lungs not being developed, and I had a resting heart rate of 120 beats per minute, and wow. My thyroid, and you know, it was all of these things. And then, you know, it lent itself to a lot of insecurity as a kid. And I think you have to have insecurity as a child that's growing up, because you kind of live through things. And you know, luckily in that process, I was weirdly open, with no family that was necessarily leading a overtly healthy life. It was just a normal life in Minnesota. And you know, through kind of spontaneously eating grapefruits for like 3 days in a row at 13, I first had this realization of how different my body felt when I would do something. I would change something. I wouldn't just eat normally. And then at 16, I started working out consciously, like showed up in the weight room and basically had all these apprentices, where I was apprenticing through all these great older guys in the gyms. And I fell in love with the gym atmosphere of improving yourself. And so that led me down the very powerful path of like, oh, this is not just necessarily given with a sentence. This is possible. This is malleable. Yeah. I don't have to just sit here and have this feeble existence of of living that I actually have more agency than I thought. So in that pursuit, athletics and things like that, and then really the professional change was I was in college, I got hurt playing American football, and I couldn't get back on the field. So I just took that kind of depression of an early college football retirement and moved into physiology, kinesiology, nutrition. And that was just the start of a long, curious road that continues to this day.
So that's interesting that at 13 you were like aware enough to notice the difference in your body. Do you feel that it's maybe because you were kind of dealing with some of these other health issues that you're a bit more in tune than the typical person?
I don't think I was in any more in tune other than when I changed something so dramatically again, spontaneously. I just did something different. You know, we don't know what the change will be unless we do it. And discipline is the only thing that's going to carry us through and to have an experience. And the last I checked, our life is a series of experiences, right? And our minds can go off in all kinds of different tangents, but the discipline of life is really the actions you take. And so that shift was really, I think any kid would have experienced something different having been a normal kid eating pizza and pot roast and whatever, and then all of a sudden eating grapefruit for a few days. It was so obvious.
Yeah.
That I, of course it happened to me, but I think it would have happened to anybody, and you gain and garner whatever that experience. Listen, it's not like I was like a perfect eating kid at that point. I just had this experience, didn't really think much of it, really. And then I just was a kid, and then I just went back to my eating, but it left me. I'm obviously telling you that story because it left me with something very valuable. It left me with a tool that I didn't realize I had put in my tool belt yet. And those things are those pivotal moments that you then go, oh yeah, this was a very pivotal point in my life. And then of course, you know, the realizing that the medicine of exercise and the building, the literal building of your body, it's not just your body. It's a building of psychological confidence when you're coming from this place of deficit, or this place of weakness, this place of you almost didn't make it, and you have some issues, right? So the food and the exercise coming together, again, then when I was hurt, had a back injury, and then applying information as I was learning in college, again, it's applying, it's discipline, which then takes you through another door that you don't get to go through in your mind.
Yeah.
Your mind just gets to come along with the experience again. So that to me is probably one of my biggest assets, is I've been able to string together a career of going off of a feeling and then being willing to jump full head, full steam into it.
So would you allude that to basically listening to your gut, like as a gut feeling?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know where it came from at 13 or 16 or at 20, but it came from somewhere. And, you know, every part of my existence of major changes, from moving from Minnesota to Boulder to Colorado, from Boulder to California, to showing up in the Amazon, to all of these things are a feeling. And this is also something that when you say yes to it, it opens more. It's like you're trust. It's almost like you're trusting yourself. And does everything work out all the time? No, it takes hard work and you got to show up and like, but there's there is a direct communication. And there is a direct, like, this is on me. I'm doing this because I'm going. And when I listen to that, nothing's going to stop me. I may not know what's going to happen. I may not know how it's going to happen, but I'm going. And that to me is one of the greatest kind of skills. And I think that was forged by challenge, without a doubt.
And absolutely, it doesn't always work out in the short term, but when you zoom out far enough, it always does work out.
Always.
And so where was that point in your journey where you were able to kind of use all of these tools that you've acquired and had made it so that you're like, you know what, I'm just going to be plant-based and I'm going to like focus on, in other words, there's like that bigger pivotal point of like, I'm going to be plant-based and I'm going to just move forward with this. Or is a combination of all those experiences?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's always a combination and you build upon it, right? It's your own internal algorithmic life in a certain sense. I was really interested in nutrition and botanicals, and the more I looked, but also I needed to do I was seeing gaps in the nutrition space and the food space, and I was already seeing the frustrations of what shouldn't be in products and also what should be in that isn't in. And so that sent me down that journey of the relationship we have to the natural world is so unbelievable. And specifically, the relationship we have to plants and the botanicals and our allies. And I got so fascinated, I jumped on planes and showed up in the middle of foreign countries just to learn. And then really, as an athlete and as someone that was always active, the final straw was like I didn't feel good eating so much meat and fish and all of these things. And then it was like, how could I be doing this when I have always loved sentient beings? And now with all of the research I was doing, with all of the scouring of the planet to find the compounds and the plants, like I can eliminate this middleman of killing anything and thrive with the compounds that plants provide. So being able to make that choice and then from a moral choice, getting to line that up with my physical and mental choices, it was just and then experiencing the benefits was just it was an I'm There's no reason to change that. So there's something powerful about integrating. And I don't care, we can always justify.
For sure.
Justification is what creates a lot of pain around the world. Justifying it through religion, justifying through politics, justifying through, made up borders, like you name it, you look around, people justify whatever, justify because, carnivore is healthier for me. You just justify everything, whatever it is. I love the integrated life. The more you get to move forward and the more you get to integrate what your true beliefs are and live according to that, that just seems to make the most sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. As you're talking, you're doing all of these research and traveling the world and learning some more. It made me think of the Barooka nuts. We were My wife and I were having dinner at Doug's place in 29 Palm, and there was all these bags of Barooka nuts, and I was like, oh, that's Darren's product, right? He's like, dude, grab one, like, just taste it, it's really good. And it was very interesting. It was like a peanut almond kind of mix. So like, how did that come about?
Yeah, that was in Brazil. and the other side of the really the continent, or other side of Brazil, and that side, and I was in the Amazon, and a Brazilian had reached out to me on social media and said, "Hey, do you know of the Baru nut?" And I didn't. And so he sent me a bunch of research. He sent me samples, and I was like, "Holy shit, what is this thing?" And then he said, "Yeah, it's a little tricky in terms of the business side of it, because it's a wild food. There's no growing of this thing, and it's in a land mass the size of three states of Texas put together." And so I said, "All right, well, I gotta do my thing and show up and see what's really going on." And nutritionally, the superiority of that nut is from all the tested nuts that we know of, it's superior in terms of its micronutrients, its macronutrients, its full amino acids, its fiber, you name it. And then from a taste perspective, I was like, "Wow, this is like the best biohack around a peanut, right?" And then, of course, the indigenous connection that it has to foraging, and then getting to pay and create an economy that was stable for them. And then the kind of this third powerful component was the Cerrado, where it comes from in Brazil. This savanna was under threat almost, well, in a lot of measurements, being destroyed faster than any land mass on the planet. So all of the worlds combined between a delicious food, a nutrient dense food. So the needing to change someone's palate to appreciate this wasn't going to be there, to supporting the indigenous people in a new and more stable economy, and then creating this environmental impact. This was kind of like it all kind of merged together. Plus, I was so addicted, and still am to this day, to eating this nut. This is going to be tough. This is going to be challenging. This has never really happened. So I'm like, I'm all in. So yeah, that started in 2015.
Oh wow, that was not almost a decade ago.
Yeah.
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 Oh, awesome. I think you did a great job with it. They're delicious. I love them. I'm gonna have to
And
reorder some more.
nature did it. We're just handling it well, and
The
we're
middleman.
cross.
Nature's a
Yeah.
supplier. Yeah. Beautiful. Well, man, let's jump it into your latest book, Fatal Conveniences. Like I shared with you before we started the recording, and for the people that listening already noticed, I lost my late partner to breast cancer. I was her caregiver for 5 years. When she got sick, we literally analyzed everything that was in the household in terms of cleaning products, perfume, skincare, quality of water, air filtration, and all of these things. So I feel it's kind of ties in perfectly with this book. So do you mind me asking, like, what was the prompt to go from more superfood oriented book to be like, let's talk about these invisible chemicals.
Yeah, so again, there's kind of the idea that life is kind of writing your story if you're willing to listen. And while I was in college, my dad was suffering from multiple chemical sensitivity disorder. Very hard to diagnose, because it didn't not a lot of people knew about it. So he was a high functioning professor at the University of Minnesota, and he was experiencing immune system challenges, brain fog, depression, this kind of thing, from everything from an off-gassing t-shirt to laundry soap to shampoo, conditioner, deodorant, carpets, formaldehyde on paints, and whatever, right? So my dad started telling me about this while I was in college, and started highlighting things and showing me information, and then sending me kits to wash myself and wash my clothes before I would go home to see him. So in that process, I was desensitizing myself. And I come to realize I feel better. And I didn't know I wasn't feeling good, but
Yeah.
I was starting to feel even better having detoxified myself from these chemicals. Just to be able to see my dad. So this thing has been running alongside of me for 30 years, learning about it. And I bumped up against it in the supplement industry with natural flavors, artificial flavors, the loopholes the FDA allows in both, like screaming matches and when I was formulating and realizing, like, oh, there, this isn't disclosed. You gotta actually tell them what you don't want in even a natural flavor.
Yeah.
And then meeting researchers 25 years ago telling me about electromagnetic fields and strength and stressors. And so all of this has been something that I've been curating in my life and staying away from and learning about. And so having written the first book, Super Life, and ran over around the world and then formulated these products, I was like, oh, the missing link here is the detriment of our societal products that we unfortunately are victims of, because the regulation of them is so upside down that they put these harmful, known harmful chemicals out there without testing, without proper testing. And that was from the common sense upbringing that I had in Minnesota. I was like, how would you knowingly put a product out in the marketplace in any way?
Yeah.
And give it to people and actually have them buy it. So I was like, this is the invisible elephant in the room of our society that is not being handled at all. The FDA is not doing its job effectively. The USDA is not doing its job effectively. The FCC is not doing its job effectively. The NIH is not doing its job effectively. Like, of course, there's good people in those organizations trying to do the right thing, but you're finding that the wild west of products and product development and all of this stuff is just throw it out in the marketplace, and we don't really have the ability to test all of those things. So we're just gonna hope that everyone makes healthy products
that it works out.
And it works out, and only under overwhelming evidence later by some watch group or someone tests it and it gets caught that a product has PFAS in it or endocrine disruptors or heavy metals, whatever it is, then it gets pulled off the market. So it's kind of a bit of the opposite.
Yeah, we're the guinea pigs,
we're
essentially, as they're testing this stuff out. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned the supplement industry. So I used to work in the supplement industry back in Canada, and I remember sitting at a board meeting and they're like, okay, this ingredient right now is really hot to not have in a product and it's in our product. So they're like, how can we not have it on the label but still use it? So I remember them having a conversation of like deconstructing the compounds of that and then listing all these ingredients that make up the one thing that they don't want to see on the label to still have it on there and say that it's there without saying it. I was like, this is crazy that people are willingly doing this.
Yeah. That gets pretty gnarly that way, right? You just think on the one hand, the pharmaceutical world, and on the other hand, the supplement world is obviously gaining in dominance of market share every year, and the wild west that exists within this stuff when you test these things, and sometimes it doesn't even have the compounds that it's marketing in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, how is this possible? Well, instead of, you know, thinking that it's, how is this possible? Unfortunately, It is possible. It is happening. And this is just the way things currently are. And yeah, the supplement industry is a big challenge right now. And that's why I love companies and that are doing the right work, and unfortunately, I probably turn down two or three supplement companies every week who want me to support them. And I'm like, there is no way you're doing enough research. Like, even on Shakeology, we do over 5,000 tests per batch.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not like we're marketing that.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the quality control, QAQC, that we have involved. And, you know, there's another company, True Niagen, which I got to talk to the CEO about NR and NAD. Like, the clinical data that they are putting their money where their mouth is so awesome and exciting. And so when I find, unfortunately, the anomalies of a company literally bang for their buck doing what's right and doing the testing, and like, that to me is like, why is it like that? It should be the opposite, where 99% of the companies are doing the right thing and 1% is not. But unfortunately, people are paying, people are insecure, they're marketed to, and you know, supplements show up as fatal conveniences all the time.
Yeah. So when I think about fatal conveniences, here are the main ones that kind of come up to my mind, and I'd love to explore some of them. Obviously, we can probably talk about all the things that exist probably for 10 hours straight, which we don't have that much time. So I want to cover as many as possible, right? So we think a lot about cleaning products is when it comes up very often. Supplements is when it comes up very often. Perfume, skincare is another one. I know water is one that most people don't talk about, but I know that is a big one as well. And in clothing, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, if we can talk about a few of those, like cleaning products, we can start with that one.
Yeah, cleaning products. I mean, I can zero it in on the it's really the olfactory manipulation that's probably the biggest challenge. The perfumes or the fragrances, because it's the delusion that something is clean based on a smell, right? So they can manipulate you through those. And the olfactory is so sensitive, and one of the greatest kind of mysteries of our existence, so easily manipulated in that sense. But these are aerosolized, these are endocrine disrupting, and let's just unpack endocrine disrupting, because we're going to say it a bunch of times, because many chemicals show up. Endocrine disrupting is really taking this idea of the endocrine system is this very intricate collaboration in your body of micro changes metabolically, hormonally, stress response, everything that your body is dealing with in any and all situations, 1,000 billion changes and situations are happening all the time in any second. And all of those are micro changes by the hormonal system, by your testosterone, by your estrogen, by your thymus, by your pituitary, by your pineal. All of this and a whole lot more is delicately and powerfully moving you around in time and place and space based on your environment.
Yeah.
Now, if you add in synthetic versions that our body has not even remotely adjusted to, that is directly affecting your estrogen, your testosterone, which shows up many different ways. Drinking out of a water bottle shows estrogen dominance of phthalates. Yeah, there you go. Celebrate the glass,
yeah.
Right? These things can push an estrogen dominance in your body, which then throws throws your whole body into a mimicking nature of estrogen, perceiving there's more estrogen.
Yep.
So then adjusting your body in other ways, not understanding or having anything to do with the natural world, because it's now being infected with an estrogen, which can then lower testosterone. Other stress responsive of electromagnetic fields can also lower testosterone. All of these EDCs, these endocrine disruptors, can have an infinite cascade effect on many hormones, many systems of the body. So with fragrances, with cleaning products, it's really not effective cleaning necessarily, or it's a chemical version of a very nasty chemical that can cause all kinds of antibacterial changes, microbiome changes in your environment. So killing everything.
Yeah.
And so this is a disturbance, a chemical disturbance of natural environments. I'm all for clean.
Yeah.
But let's just cut to the chase. One very easy way to create a cleaning product is you take organic apple cider vinegar, dilute it by a minimum of 50%, and you could throw some essential oil. So now you've eliminated toxic material and endocrine disrupting. So you've just shifted that. You've now shifted into a positively inducing parasympathetic cleaning agent that is cleaning effectively, and also with that essential oil, up leveling your parasympathetic, downregulating your stress response. So now you've eliminated toxins and up leveled your cleaning that has helped your system. So you've done two powerful things. I just want to emphasize that, because you're eliminating the toxic exposure and increasing the beneficial aspects. So that's why we should look at these things more as an elimination, but more of what can I do to actually make my health better as a result of using these products.
So let me ask you this. It would be more of a selfish question that I think the audience will benefit from. So obviously you cover a lot of things in the books. I want people to be able to read it, because I'll get a lot of value from it. Did you find that for yourself? Because when I was going through this period of healing and cleansing the house and changing all these products and making all these changes, like, man, did I feel good. Oh, it was a huge difference. But then I found myself being so pure in a way that when I was in environments that weren't so pure, I would be more sensitive to it. I would be more affected to it. So did you notice that in yourself? And how do you get around that? Because our home is something that we have more control over to kind of change all of these things. But when we leave the house, when we travel, which I'm sure you go on a lot of business trips, like, did you feel the difference? And how do you handle it when you get outside of your home?
Yeah, I think yes, handling it in the home and creating that environment as the home is usually our second skin, because we're inputting it and it's coming back to us, right? So that's very important. But when we leave, I think the first thing is, just in terms of almost our mental health outlook on it, I can go outside and I can go to a thing and it instantly get hit with someone's cologne or perfume, and it drives me absolutely crazy. It feels like an assault. It feels abusive, right? I get away from it as much as I can. I move away from those kind of things. But from a mental health perspective, I know that my resiliency has been built up. I'm stronger. Mm-hmm. I may not want to be around it. I may be affected by it because I'm sensitive to it.
Yeah.
But I'm also going, I know what my home is. I know what my environment is. I know I'm only here for a period of time. I also set my environment up the best that I can, and I don't sweat it, right?
Yeah.
I don't kind of lose, quote unquote, sleep over it. I mean, you can do things like when you're laying in a, you know, I'm not bringing all my own laundry to a hotel room, but maybe bring your pillowcase Bring your organic undyed pillowcase and just change the pillowcase so your head is, you know, do things like that. Hell, water filters. When I was filming Down to Earth, I literally brought my own AquaTrue because we had all this equipment anyway. So I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to add this to our equipment. And every hotel room, I would set it up and filter my own water. I mean, obviously, that's an extreme. I
Is
mean,
that like a Berkey, that one?
no, AquaTrue is a reverse osmosis countertop.
That you
So
put water into or connect to the.
put your water into. So it's easy. Yeah, it's got a compartment you put it into, and then it filters in the second compartment, and you're good. And it's RO, and you add your little unrefined salt to it. Bam. And if that wasn't the case, I would find a market and get a glass bottle and buy some spring water and you know, not worry too much about it, right? So I bring all my essentials from my, you know, my toothpaste to my what I'm putting on my body and my skin and my lotions and my if I am using shampoo or my body wash, those are all mine. I'm never using, there's no way I'm using someone else's stuff. Like that, I can always bring. So, you know, mask. So I cut out all the weird lights, sometimes earplugs. If I'm in a city, my brain's not used to all of that noise. So I put earplugs in. So you know, all of those things when you're doing, you just do the best you can. And then, you know, again, you also make choices. Like, unless this trip is really, really powerful for me, then I'm gonna go. If not, I'm not gonna go.
So I think what you mentioned to not sweat it is a big thing that people struggle with, because when I went to my clients, I was like, hey, I'm gonna have Darren on the show. You guys have any question? They're like, oh, I love his book, but I'm like, I don't know if I'll listen to that episode because it makes me overthink everything that's in my house. And I was like, oh, it's such a interesting concept. So I was wondering if you were overthinking all of these things, or if you just got to a place where it's like, hey, I don't sweat it. I do the best that I can. I understand that I'll ultimately, I think, never be able to fully control everything.
I never think about it. I mean, when I say I never think about it, it's now in my subconsciousness. It's automated. And you know, I find it, you know, it's part of society when people say stuff like that. I find it very interesting. I don't want to deal with it. This is your life. I didn't make up the fact that all these chemicals you're swimming around in. If you decide not to do anything and wear synthetic underwear that are on your testes or your vaginal wall and are PFAS is getting into your bloodstream, that's on you, man. Like, if you want to be so unaware, there's a big population of people that you exist well with. That's fine. I am not here to make someone's choice for them. But my first book's title was called Super Life for a reason. I want me and I want others to live a super life. I want us to define what life is. I want us to define what utopia is and could be. And utopia is not me having chemicals all over. All of these clothes are from Industry of All Nations,
I was
right?
gonna ask. I just bought a bunch of them, like when I met Doug. They're great.
They're so great. And I know those guys, and they've gone to all the lengths, right? And it's like, if I were to create a clothing company, I would create it exactly how these guys are doing it. It is hard work, it is more expensive because they're not in this fast fashion bullshit, right? So it's like, I feel so freaking good wearing these clothes because I know where they're from. I know who did it. I know it's good for my body. And so, yeah, man, initially, I have empathy for sure. When you take this on as anything, when you take on your workout and you've blown it off for a month and you haven't done it, it's a pain in the ass and your body's sore and everything else. But once you got in the groove, you feel great, you feel strong, Your mental outlook change. You have confidence. That's the thing, man. And so when you take one step, change your underwear out, change your water filter, use glass bottles, change your lotion, change your deodorant and your shampoo and your conditioner. Once you've changed that stuff out, you don't have to think about it again.
Yeah.
Like, don't be lazy. If laziness will, all it does is say the universe going, okay, well, you don't care enough about that. That's it. That's as good as you're going to get, right? And so you literally give your intention over to a company that doesn't give a shit about you. And then you rebuy a product that knowingly has chemicals in it. Like, no way. I want all of us to wake up, to detoxify ourselves, and create the kind of life that we want. I understand that it's a pain in the ass, but I didn't put it here. You didn't put it here, but it's here.
Yeah.
Radical honesty with our life. If we're not honest, nothing changes. If we're not honest and we don't confront things and be optimistically real, that's it. I want, you know, you're talking about Mike Posner, you're talking about Doug Evans, you're talking about Adam Sud. You know the common theme? And then you're talking about Darren Olean. You know the common theme of all of those people who I consider great friends?
What is it?
Is we all want extraordinary lives. And
yeah.
we hold that for each other, right? We hold that and we resonate together. And when we get together, we amplify everything in each other. That's the kind of life that I want. So we help each other out, we poke each other, we allow each other. I have many sets of friends that do that for me. So it's cultivating the kind of life that we want, right? That is, yes, facing your toothpaste that has a chemical, bad biological use of fluoride in that toothpaste with colors and dyes and parabens wrapped in, you know, wrapping it in plastics with parabens and other phthalates and endocrine disrupting. If you want to just keep buying that toothpaste, that's fine. You can do that. That's a fine life. But you have real consequences that are happening as a result. Is it acutely killing you? No, but it's slowly hurting you.
Yeah.
So that's the point. They don't care about you. You should care about you. That is the first point. When you care enough about you, of course you want better freaking products.
Yeah.
Of course you want to suffer as a result of this weird ass world that we're all in. So we come together, we have these conversations, we up level our life, we come together, we find our tribe, and we just help each other live a better life.
That's beautiful. I feel like a lot of people, I love the passion, Darren. I call it the passion button. I found the passion button. I feel like a lot of people treat the quality of their life and the standard of their life the same way that they treat their health and their kind of nutrition. That it's just a given, that it's always been this way, that it's always going to be this way. And they don't think that they have to control the power over changing their environment, changing the people they hang out with. You know, the products that they buy, it is literally as simple as like, hey, my old shitty toothpaste is done. Let me just go buy this one now, right? It's not saying like, hey, you have to buy 10 years worth of it in one shot. It's like, literally, this one is done. Let's just change it to this one. And kind of the same for the clothing. Like, I encountered maybe like a month ago. I love their pants. They're so comfortable. Their jackets are great. It's as simple as just shifting. Right. Whether you want to change all of it now, you're kind of like us. It's like, no, I don't want to handle any of it. Let's just change all of it now. Or when a product is done, then just changing it and making a better decision after. And so I think in the book and on your website, you have a lot of great recommendations of what product to use, right?
Yeah. And I just launched actually a marketplace where I've got 100 other companies coming in where I'm vetting and making sure that they're providing a discount for all the customers, that we're vetting that they're safe products. And this is something that because people want a place to go,
yeah,
right? And they want to be, quote unquote, told where to go because they can't spend as much time that I did on my book or everything else. They can't unpack, you know, the societal weird ass position we find ourselves in. So, hey, okay, I get it. This toothpaste, this deodorant, this t-shirt is not good for me. Where do I go?
Yeah.
And that's kind of that next evolution of myself too, because I've never really wanted to tell people necessarily what to do. If someone individually comes and asks me, I'll tell them.
Yeah.
But I never, but now I'm over it. I'm like, okay, like yeah. I'm going to find great companies. I've also talked to Leah over at Momovation, and she has been testing with labs a whole nother level. Everything from, you know, stainless steel water bottles to PFAS in clothing. She is digging into this and finding real information. Again, why does she exist? And I love her. She's like a long lost sister in this realm of trying to make, you know, blow up the bullshit part of society so that we can find better solutions. But she is like one of those people that exists because the regulation bodies that we perceive is regulating the stuff that is not.
Yeah.
That's the only reason she exists, as well as organizations like Campaign for Safe Cosmetics, organizations like Environmental Working Group. The only reason these things and a whole lot of other people and organizations and nonprofits exist is because the people aren't doing their job and they're putting dangerous products out there. So this is the thing. Get out of the idea that this is overwhelming. And to your point, once your product is done, change it over. Once you realize you need a new t-shirt, don't buy the one for $4.99 that has 8,000 different chemicals in it. That is bleached then and perpetuating genetically modified oversprayed cotton. Yes, sometimes these companies, they're more expensive because they're more true cost. So don't buy 5 t-shirts, buy one and take care of it, right?
It lasts forever.
Exactly. Yeah. Unless you're, you know, crazy and working in it and like, but yeah, I love this stuff because it's just, you know, it's you take care of that which you kind of hold more dear as well. And when you get to hear some of these stories, when you understand the real story, not like eco or the greenwashing that it absolutely exists. Yeah. Absolutely exists throughout a lot of companies, which is part of the reason that I and my team dig into this stuff. And I get these CEOs on a phone call and I ask them questions. I turn them down. I'm like, they can't prove to me. They're not telling me the truth. They're not proving to me that these things are safe. They're done. Like, so that's part of the policing of this shit so that people can have, you know, a place to go and start to change some of these things out.
Yeah. And just to point out to people as well is once you kind of get into that world, it gets easier.
Yeah.
Right. And like you said, it becomes more subconscious. You start to make these decisions by yourself because those governing bodies, I've never listened to them, never really aligned with them. And once you do that, and you kind of do your own research, it becomes so much easier and you kind of awaken. Just want to, and on two things you mentioned when you were younger, there was kind of a, you didn't use the word numbness, but I like to use the word numbness to kind of how we think we feel okay until you experience a new level. You're like, holy shit, I didn't even know this existed. And then you change the products and the clothes and you go plant-based and like, holy shit, there's another level of how great I can feel. And so if you think you feel great now, wait, it gets even better as you start to kind of cleanse your environment and change, your food choices and your product choices. I really enjoy the work that you do. And so what I wanted to do is buy 5 of your books personally and do a giveaway on Instagram for the people listening so that they can have access to this information. And so when you guys listen to this podcast and it goes live, there will be a post on Instagram where you can enter to win 1 of the 5 copies. And I will also put all the link in the description for your store, your website, your book. And for the people that don't win, you can go and buy the book ultimately. But yeah, any last words of wisdom that you would like to share with the audience? Because I want to be respectful of your time.
Well, thank you, brother. I'm grateful for these conversations. And if there was a hope that I have that people who are listening, of any part of this as resonating as truth, don't just blow it off. Take an action forward. The perpetuation of truth moving forward in discipline is so powerful for a life of a positive, powerful outlook and change in your life that it's not underestimated. So please, write down a note, write down your to-do list, take an action, and then build in the discipline so that you get to that other side and you get to experience the bounty of that new shift that you've made. And then it moves to your subconscious, and then you just become a new person, and then you find a new tribe and you're living the best life ever.
Absolutely. Like I tell people, it's just, you heard cool shit and it won't change your life unless you implement it, right? Just cool shit you can tell your friends and it stays there.
Totally.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Darren, thank you very much for jumping on, brother. I really appreciate it. Everyone, thank you very much for listening. Darren, stay on. We'll do some like closing notes. But everyone, thank you very much. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to rate the podcast as it helps us grow and spread our message. And if you know this will help and resonate with someone, be sure to send it their way so that they can have the opportunity to level up their life as well.